The Zen of Gentlemen podcast is brought to you by Beastly Beard Care, a company based in Woodstock, Illinois. Now let's get real for a second, gentlemen. No one, including your lady, likes an inchy, coarse, or shaggy beard. And what Beastly Beard Care does is provide superior quality beard products made in small batches that will promote healthy growth, soften, and give that beard a remarkable shine that you will love. And did I mention it'll smell great in the process? Hurry over to facebook.com/beastlybeardcare, and once you're there, give them a like and follow the link to their website so you can see for yourself all the great products that they offer. Now, when you go to checkout, add the promo code FREESHIP, and we'll take care of the shipping costs for you. We're also brought to you by Armstrong's All Natural, a company based in Brooklyn, New York, that has been making the highest quality leather care and skin conditioning products since 2014. They carry a large assortment of salves, waxes, and balms to keep you and the things that work hard for you in perfect running condition. They keep production environmentally friendly by sourcing only natural ingredients from local family farms that use sustainable farming practices in order to produce the purest handcrafted artisanal products. Everything they do is designed to give you, the consumer, the best buying experience possible, even down to the packaging that is recyclable or compostable. Now, it's very easy to find them on Instagram. Just search Instagram in the search bar for Armstrong's All Natural or visit their website at armstrongsallnatural.com. Now, when you get over there, use the code word Zen at the checkout and receive 15% off your entire order. Now, one more time, that's armstrongsallnatural.com. All right, guys, enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Zen of Gentlemen podcast. We're your guide to being a perfect gentleman in an imperfect age. This is your source for discovering the gentleman within you. Listen in as we share with you tips to becoming well-groomed, well-mannered, and well-trained in the lost art of virility. Let's take the journey together with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Zen of Gentlemen podcast. As always, I'm your host, Dan, here with my ever-faithful companion, Chris.
I like that one, Dan.
Yeah, I kind of went back to it.
The soothing sounds of Dan and Chris.
Ooh.
I can't talk like that. That sounds terrible. But anyway, thank you again.
We're just going to do the entire show in that slow, soothing baritone now.
No, that sounds creepy. thanks again, guys, for listening. This is Chris. Dan's here, introduced himself. We got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about how to rebuild or maintain your confidence. We think that a lot of guys have either lost that over the years because they've either gotten lazy with their appearance, or they're not working out like they used to, or they had a woman shame them, you know, that sort of stuff.
Hey, and that's, I've done all of those.
Hey, just this week.
No,
I'm kidding. You know that.
Yeah.
I think every guy has gone through that one time in their life, and we all been down that road. We're like, oh, I don't like myself. I don't like the way I look in the mirror. But I need to snap out of it. Mm-hmm. I got to get this funk going. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to do if you don't really have the proper tips, if you're not really motivated to, go online and look for them. Here we're going to go over some tips today about how to do that. But first, before we do that, we got to mention one other sponsor we don't talk about in the commercials. It's Royal Blood Designs.
Incredible.
Jackson Bickle, who's the lead designer over there, is, I think he's like only like 22 or 23. I'm probably messing that up, Jackson. I'm sorry. Definitely awesome dude. He's always taking care of us as far as all of our logo work. I'm working on something right now. I'm not going to announce this yet. It's got more months in the making. Dan saw it earlier today. I'm working on something that he took care of, he designed again, and like he charged me.
It's pretty groovy.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to say it. It's groovy. It's vintage. Yeah, vintage. It's under symbolism, that sort of thing.
It's the symbology. Every chance I get to make a Boondock Saints allusion, I do.
And you'd be surprised when people are like, "Well, what are you doing?"
Actually, fun little trivia fact.
Uh-oh, here we go.
That the prayer that they do,
and normally, yeah.
And shepherds we shall be for thee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what that prayer actually is?
No, I do not.
It is the Irish version of the Our Father.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's in Latin in the last part, but I didn't know that. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I thought there was a cat. Dan just kicked his black socks on, and he just kicked his feet out from underneath our table, which is basically a party table that I have.
It's a folding table.
It's a folding party table in my living room. And all of a sudden, it just looked like a big black cat was going across. Okay, kind of creeped me out. But anyway, getting back real quick, Jackson Bickle, founder of Royal Blood Designs.
Incredible.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome. He really takes care of us, and he's running a special right now. You can see the poster that he came up with on our Facebook page. If you go to facebook.com/ZOG podcast, ZOG podcast, basically for Zen of Gentlemen. Go up, look up on there. Look him up on Facebook. He's also got an Instagram page that's really popular. He's got a lot of followers on there. But he does a lot of CD covers, a lot of T-shirts. He also has his own clothing line, that sort of stuff. So if you've been following this show for a while or our previous engagement, you know Jackson's always been there for us. So go make sure you check him out.
Definitely. He's awesome.
So this week, like I said, we're going to talk about confidence, how to rebuild that confidence, how to keep it going.
Or and how to initially build it.
Initially,
because I know when I was younger, I struggled with a lot of self-esteem.
Me too, and I think, how do I say this without sounding weird? Like, I don't like the way my face looks. Like, I don't.
You've talked about it before.
Oh, on the show or just me and you personally?
On the show.
I okay, I don't. Well, I don't remember. But anyway, I don't like the way my face looks.
For those not keeping score at home.
Yeah. but I've never been like, I didn't grow into my face until I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. I looked like a stork in high school. Like, I had size 14 wrestling shoe. I was 189 pounds at 6'4". Like, and those for, and like I said, those of you scoring at home, at this day and age, at this moment, I am 6'4", 245, 250 pounds. Mm-hmm. Same size shoe and everything, but I filled out a little bit.
Yeah, you're a healthy build.
Yeah, I don't consider myself overweight. I'm just.
No, you're just.
I'm big, you know. That's how it's about. Like, but I have a big nose. Like, I know that. Mm. I come from Yugoslavian descent and really? German descent. So,
huh, never knew that.
It just kind of runs in the family. I get it from my great grandma. So I have like other family members who don't have it. Mm-hmm. It's a strong line, strong gene apparently in my family. Mm. A lot of my uncles, my great uncles have it. You know, that sort of thing. But we've all, you know, had wives and gotten married and had girlfriends, and I have a girlfriend now. And, like, I don't consider myself an ugly guy. I just don't like the way my face looks. Mm-hmm. And most people, you know, like, oh, overlook that sort of thing. Well,
everybody's
whatever.
Got their own qualms.
So, like, but anyway, getting back to what I was saying is it took me a long time to get over that. And, like, and I, you know, I did what I tried to do to make get confidence and was, you know, either getting girls or working out and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, eventually I got to the point where I don't think about it as much anymore. Mm-hmm. I've come to the point where now if you don't like the way I look, then I don't really give a shit.
So, yeah,
that's not my problem. Do. Like my opinion, your opinion of me is none of my business. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
They don't pay your bills.
Exactly. And I, you know, if you're paying my bills, then I have to listen to what you're saying. But other than that, you don't have to. So, let me ask you this, Nate. Like you said, you struggled with this. Mm-hmm. How come?
I was always a rather husky child.
You're a bit dude anyway.
Well, yes, but I wasn't quite so filled out. I was scrawnier, but I still had like a belly. And I was very self-conscious of it. I had pretty bad skin in high school too.
Like acne?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And I was a band geek. So I was just constantly ridiculed.
Well, like, I mean, not personally, but mm-hmm. I'm sure that didn't help out matters any in the bullying department.
Yeah, no, I had a horrible time in high school.
Oh, same here. And, like, middle school was worse for me mm-hmm. until I got to high school and joined the wrestling team, and then nobody screwed with me. Because you screw with a wrestler, you screw with the whole damn team, you know?
But yeah, like, all through high school, up until my senior year. My senior year, I started taking weightlifting,
okay.
And I went from, in like 2 months, like 200 to like 160.
For real?
My skin cleared up.
Oh my goodness, I was going to ask you what you used
to. And I had been starting to play guitar, so I was starting to get decent at it.
Yeah.
So then all of that negative attention
kind of flipped over.
Around.
That's like, I had really bad acne when mm-hmm. I was in high school, and like I had to take, now it's probably, I think they don't even make it anymore because I think it got like outlawed or something. It was called Accutane. And like
I've never heard of it.
It was like the doctor told me. My mom took me to a dermatologist and gave me all these soaps and all this other crap. And then he's like, "We'll put you on a pill for 20 weeks. And you take a pill every day, but you have to get a blood test done once a month because it could screw your liver up." So I'm like, "All right, well, whatever." And then they monitored my triglycerides. I got a 17-year-old kid. You know, like I'm eating, I'm wrestling, I'm weightlifting, I'm playing football. Like, who cares how much carbs I eat? You know, like mm-hmm. whatever. So they monitored it, and like I didn't have acne for like a long time after that, and then like maybe midway through my senior year, it all came back again. So I'm like, well, what the hell? Like they told me not this was a permanent solution, mm-hmm. you know. So my mom bought this vitamin book, excuse me, and she found like all these vitamins for acne, so she bought them all for me. Mm-hmm. It was like vitamin A, which is like kryptonite, like pimples and stuff, and then E, zinc, and selenium.
Okay.
So she bought this like. Combo pack and then made me individual things.
That's nice.
So like every day I would get up before school and take, or it was actually before I went to bed. I would take it before I go to bed. And she had like one of those old school, like old people daily pill things. I got mm-hmm. one over there for all my vitamins.
Yeah.
And she kept them all in there and I would take them before I go to bed. And like within literally no crap, 3 weeks, my acne was gone. My skin was clear. Everything was. I still look like a stork, but I mean, at least I had clear skin. So
that makes me think of the old joke. It's like the progression of medicine. Just like back in the Stone Age, it was here, eat this root. And it was, no, that root is bad for you. Use this salve.
Salve.
Salve. No, this salve is bad for you. Take this pill. No, that pill is bad for you. Eat this root.
Yeah, eat this root now.
And, it's come full circle.
What I hate was people say like, oh, because it comes from a plant, it's okay. Well, most drugs come from plants.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to be the one that, you know, bearer of bad news. I'm not saying, you know, any, most drugs, oxycodone comes from a plant. I mean, majority, like,
that's a bit of a stretch.
Opiates are plants, you know, barbiturates are plants, you know, that sort of thing. Hallucinogenics are plants.
Yeah, they are.
So, easy buddy, easy buddy.
Hey, I'm just honoring my religion by eating the mushrooms.
That's one thing I've always wanted to try. Just
actually,
once.
They say even consuming, and I will attest to this too, because I've only done mushrooms once, but they say taking mushrooms only one time can permanently alter
your brain
your brain chemistry.
Really?
And it can completely change your philosophical outlooks on life.
I just want to do it one time. I didn't want to do it when I was younger, because I think your mind's not fully functional mm-hmm. until like you're in your 30s. Like, I'm 33, going to be 34 in July, and I think that if I took it now, it'd be a lot easier for me than if I would have took it in my early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I think your brain's still kind of developing until you get to your 30s. Because, I mean, think about it this way. I mean, you're only 25, but your mindset when you were 21 and from 25 is completely different. And it's even going to be more different when, you know, 5 years from now. And just like my mindset was, like, when I got, you know, when Ethan was born, my son, that was 6 years ago. Like, my mind is completely in a different place than it was. So, I think if I were to take it now, like, I don't want to go out, like, look for it or anything or chase it down. But if there were, like, somebody like, hey, let's go out and do this and, like, listen to, you know, trance music or something. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they do. I'm not into that scene.
You're not hip with the kids.
I'm not hip with all the kids in the high top kicks and all that crap.
But, yes. So
anyway, getting back to where we were going. So, confidence. Now, there's some simple ways to... really, really simple ways, really easy things that you could do to help get that confidence going. At least get it kind of just started so that snowball effect starts to happen.
We were talking before, and you got a really good list. I really like yours. Mine really pales in comparison.
Oh, don't say that. We'll add some of your stuff in there too.
Maybe.
Maybe we'll see. The first thing is it's going to sound kind of remedial, but you'd be surprised how many people don't do it, for one. And two, how much of a boost it can be. Now, first one is dress better. I mean, just dress better. Mm-hmm. Like, don't wake up every day and go out to the store or anything, like, just wearing, you know, a ratted t-shirt and sweatpants. Like, that's how you're going to feel. Mm-hmm. You wear old, crappy clothes, you're going to feel old and crappy. Like, if you're inside wearing, you know, it's at nighttime, you're wearing, those are your pajamas. Okay, great. Those are fine to sit and watch Netflix with.
Mm-hmm.
But
so long as you're not including the chill.
No, we don't do the chill.
Go back to our old episode.
episode two or three? Right?
I think it was like two.
I think it was two. I can't believe this is going to be episode nine, man.
The next one's double digits.
Dude, we're going to be, dude.
Dude.
I think we only had like maybe 20 episodes of TMO. Like, that was crazy. So this is going to be episode nine. So anyway, so simply dressing better. Shower and shave every day.
Upkeep on hygiene. That is, if you choose to shave.
Well, I'm not saying if you're a bearded guy like we are, I mean, shave your neck. Like, you don't have to do that, unfortunately. But I have to shave my neck and the back of my neck.
I'm starting to get hairier. I'm noticing.
I'm
finally starting to get some hair on my chest.
Like Wayne Campbell. Right? Yeah. Garth finally got pubes. He's like 30. It's like Dana Carvey's like in his 30s when he did Wayne's World, you know? So, anyway. Like I said, simply dressing better. When you go outside, you know, I messed up what I was going to say. Anyway, shower and shave every day if you do shave. Buy a good smelling body wash. Stop using soap. It dries out your skin.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to put lotion
on.
I'm
a fan of Irish Springs.
We are a fan of Irish Springs for obvious reasons. My girlfriend bought me Axe the other day, the Black and Chill that we talked about before, which was really awesome. Brush your damn teeth.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to say that without being weird. Brush your teeth. Get in there. Scrub your teeth down. Women don't like bad breath. Don't like weird meth mouth. Get in there and brush your teeth. Even if you just do it once a day. If you do it once a day before you go to bed at night, that's great. You get those little floss things, like the little, they have like a toothpick on the end of it. Scrape out your teeth. Get all that gunk out from in there. You'd be surprised what it'll do for you. a good quality mouthwash will help out as well. Keep that stuff, you know, rebuilding enamel that you may have lost from drinking soda all your life or all that other crap. And comb your hair. I mean, just, you don't have to like style it or anything, but you get out of the shower, your hair is kind of wet and damp. Comb it a little bit, and it'll help train your hair to go to one side. The more times you comb it, the more your hair will remember which way to go. Mm-hmm. Try different hairstyles out if you want to. Look, I mean, you got all that time in the mirror. Do something with it.
I gotta try the mohawk.
Your hair's long. I was gonna shave my head, but I was like, no.
I've thought about shaving the sides of my head to get some tattoos on the side of my skull.
No, don't do that.
well, it's gonna be the Helm of Awe and the Nordic Compass, so that ruins.
Okay. Okay. Right. Well, if you have to. Okay, I'm just
It'd be on the sides, and I just grow the hair back out. I work for the school board. They wouldn't approve anyway.
No, you have to wear a hat all the time. But another good rule of thumb, and speaking of Boondock Saints, that's where I learned where that rule of thumb came from.
It's a shame it wasn't the rule of the wrist, eh?
Can't do much damage with that. But for people who don't know what rule of thumb means, we're going to a little history lesson. Your rule of thumb, in the early 1900s, it was okay for men to beat their wives as long as they use a stick no wider than their thumb. That's where that saying comes from.
The rule of thumb. You could have done too much damage with that. Should have been the rule of wrist, eh? No, I'm not promoting...
Sean Patrick Flannery?
No, I'm not promoting spousal abuse.
No,
it's
please
a
don't
line
that.
From the
it's
film.
It's a line from the movie. You've seen Boondock Saints.
If you have not seen the Boondock Saints, pause this podcast. Go online, which I'm sure you can probably find it on there. Watch the Boondock Saints. It
Even
is incredible.
The second and third one are all great. But
there's no third one yet. The second one was really good.
I saw the second one in the theater. I wasn't crazy about it, but the first one's actually really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
And as far as dressing better, the final thing we're going to say for that is dress. When you go outside for the day, dress like you wouldn't be embarrassed to meet the love of your life or a business partner or something like that. Don't, like, if you run into somebody you might not know or somebody you're going to know, dress that way, just so you don't be embarrassed. Like I said, ready t-shirt and sweatpants is not going to cut it.
That's always one tip that I've loved is dress like you're going to meet the love of your life.
Like that day.
Even if you're just going up to the Walmart.
Yeah. Jeans and t-shirt and make sure your clothes are clean. I mean, it's not that hard. You know. But people at Walmart, I seem to forget that apparently.
That website.
That's so bad. So bad. I get bored sometimes and just cruise that site. And I'm like... No, this isn't happening. Right
there's
now.
No amount of money in the world.
There's no way. But like I've been at the Walmart near where we live, and I've taken plenty of pictures. And I'm like, this isn't. Who are you? Like, who moved the rock? I mean, really? Like, what are you thinking when you like this is okay? Like, I can see your birth canal. Like, I can see your goiter. You know, like I can see. The colostomy bag.
Oh.
Like, I think you're pooping right now. I think you're pooping.
Oh,
like, I don't want to go be getting apple juice for my son and watch you poop. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, or hear it come into a bag. Gross. Have some self-respect.
See, that's why I was lucky. When I worked at Walmart, I worked in the Palm Harbor one.
Oh, no. At least you got like an upper class of people here. Like, we were talking about our friend Alicia earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, me and her met at the one on 52 and we worked overnights together. So, she's actually a really cool chick, and like we worked in Pats along with our buddy Gaith. But people are in there at 3 o'clock in the morning asking us about pet stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, well, don't you work in pets? Like, I restock what's in pets. Like, I don't have pets. Like, I don't even like cats. Like, I don't like goldfish because I think they make the house smell. Like, I don't know. Lady.
I met Jay working at Walmart.
Oh. But I can't picture her working at Walmart though. Like, no. We gotta make sure that we tell our friends that we talk about. Let's write down who we talked about. Let's write down who we talked about so we make sure we tell them about this. Like, hey, we mentioned you in the show. Make them listen to it a little bit. So we wrote.
It's a split second.
It doesn't matter. So, right, you can go ahead and write this down. So we wrote Jay, Alicia, Gaith. Gaith's still in my face. He's in the Bearded Brothers band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know of him.
Oh, yeah, he's a great drummer. Oh, my God, my butt's getting numb from sitting in the seat. So there we go. Enough with Walmart. Mm-hmm. So the second one would be, setting goals and meeting them. Now it's okay to, like, anybody can set a goal. Like, I want to get up at 6:30 tomorrow. That's a goal. But meeting them is a whole different story. It's all the work getting up there. Now your goals, or whether they can be big or small, they could be, hey, I'm only going to eat eggs for breakfast this whole week. Like, not raw eggs, Danny. Like,
no bacon?
You didn't let me finish. You had that weird look on your face. You know, like, you can eat egg. Well, bacon's not really the best for you, but I mean, eggs in general. If you're not worried about cholesterol, I'm only going to eat eggs this week, or I'm going to buy as many Wayne Gretzky cards as I can and put them in this album. Oh.
I mean, that's Wayne Gretzky.
Exactly. Well, yeah. So, you know, the problem with setting goals is sometimes when you do set them, that you set them way, way too big. I mean, they don't have to be like, what are you going to be doing in 10 years? Let's think about small goals now. Like, what am I going to do this week or this month?
I want to be able to have a day off next week.
Yeah, and maybe see your lady once in a while, right? Yeah. I'm sure she's
going insane.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Ugh. I hate it.
It's bad. Like, I haven't seen my girl all week either. I've been working my ass off. And
we apologize to our ladies.
Yes, I'm so sorry. So, like I said, set that, you know, small first, and then once you get enough small goals, that adds up to a bigger goal, and make that goal bigger. That way, when you start setting all those small goals and accomplishing them, that confidence level goes up, mm-hmm. and then you can set the big goals. Now, I really want to tell a quick story. I won't drag it on a whole lot, but what really got me into podcasting was listening to Joe Rogan. Like, it was kind of organic. I was working in this warehouse, and I probably told this story before. I was working at this warehouse in Oldsmar, and a guy I was working with knew I wanted to be in radio. I mean, we talked in the break room a few times about it because his brother did radio like in Chicago or something. So he's like, hey, man, you ever listen? Like, were you just in passing one day? He's like, hey, man, you ever listen to podcasts? I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about, bro.
I didn't know a podcast.
What's a podcast? He's like, dude, it's like an internet radio show. They talk about whatever they want. There's hundreds of them. And now we know there's like thousands of them. He's like, they talk about whatever they want. They can swear on the radio. It's not like a radio you hear like on inside your car. This is you download it and then you listen to it like in your MP3 player or on your iPod or whatever the case may be. I'm like, no, man. He's like, no, you know who Joe Rogan is. I'm like, yeah, like, of course I do. I mean, Fear Factor, the UFC new commentator. He's like, he's got a great one, man. Like, most of his podcasts are like 3 and 4 hours. I'm like, oh my goodness me. So I went home that night. I went on iTunes. And I'm like looking at all these, like, oh my gosh, like, where have you been? So I went and I looked up Joe Rogan's podcast, and then the first probably two or three that I listened to, where the first one was a 4-hour one he did with Bert Kreischer.
Wow.
And it was just amazing. Absolutely amazing. I listened to that podcast. I can't count how many times, just over again, because it's such a great one. And then the second one of the studios he did one with Kevin Smith. Hmm. And Kevin Smith told this story about why he does all the things that he does. And he basically starts to go, there's people that hate what I do. Absolutely hate it. But there's people that love it, all in the same aspect. And I he tells this story about his dad. He goes, my dad came out, he was doing a Q&A at the Philadelphia Comic Con, you know, this is years ago, and all of his entire family was there. His sister was there, and she lived in Japan at the time, so she's not usually home, and his brother, who's gay, was there, and his husband couldn't make it, and they were all having dinner, having a good time, everybody's laughing. He's like, dad's putting away steak and putting away cheesecake, and his dad was a mailman his entire life. And he goes, I don't know if he ever had goals, you know, he never told me about them. And then he would take me every Wednesday early out of school to take me to movies. And I think that's why I love movies as much as I do, mm-hmm. because he used to take me, I would watch it. I'm like, how do they do that? You know, like, I'm just all that, just in awe. And he goes on telling the story. He goes, well, everybody's laughing, having a good time. Dad's putting away steak, having a couple of Long Islands and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, at the end of the night, I kiss him on the forehead, put him in a cab, and I send him home. So I wake up 6:30 in the morning, my brother's screaming to me. I wake up and my brother's screaming on the telephone. He goes, you need to get down there somehow with dad. So he goes down to the hospital. And he opens the hospital doors, and the first thing he sees is his mom, right? And she's like, he has terror over her face. He's, I've made my mom cry. I've seen my mom cry. This is something different. She's freaking the hell out. She's like, she's freaking the hell out. I don't know what to do. So the brother comes in, it's into the room, and he's just kind of shaking his head. He's like, oh no. So he goes in there and sees his dad on the gurney. He's like, it was just weird. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, this is my dad. Like, all he did was work his whole life, you know? So he goes out and he was a smoker at the time. He's going out and talking to his brother, and they're upset and they're talking. And he's like, and then he goes, and then my brother said something to me they'll find my life. And he said, he died screaming. And he's like, what? He's like, he died screaming. And he goes on to tell the story that in the middle of the night, his dad woke up. He's like, I'm hot. I'm sweaty. My mouth's dry, and flipping the covers off, and his dad was kind of he was diabetic. He was actually not in the greatest of health anyway. And then all of a sudden, it shuts off. He died in the middle of screaming. That he was hot, and it was uncomfortable. It's like, you don't want to hear about your dad dying. You just want to hear that, hey, like, he went to bed
peacefully in his sleep.
Like, he went to bed one night and we woke up and, you know, he didn't, you know? Mm-hmm. So, he's like, that changed everything that I want to do. It's like, he never did anything that, maybe his goal was to have a family and watch them all be successful. I don't know. He never told me. But like, but he goes, in a world where you're going to fucking die, you're going to die. You only get one chance here. It would be dumb not to accomplish every little tiny goal that you have. Mm-hmm. And he goes, whether it's like, he even said that. He goes, well, hey, like, I want to make a movie, or I want to write a book, or I want to do a podcast. I mean, he did podcasts way before anybody else was doing it. Hmm. He was like the originator of doing a podcast. It was the first one.
Hmm.
And he goes, maybe your goals are to put, you know, like I said before, as many Wayne Gretzky cards in this one album as they possibly can. And he goes, but if your goal is to go out and hurt somebody, I'm not talking to you. You know, mm-hmm. Go out and do something that's worthwhile that you're going to learn from. Productive. And like,
having a productive hobby.
And whether it's and chase every silly dream you can, because everybody's going to die screaming. That was the story.
Like buying a movie prop for your daughter based where you got her name from. Did you hear about that?
No.
Kevin Smith's daughter's name is Harley Quinn.
That's right. Okay.
And he bought the bat that Harley Quinn used in Suicide Squad and gave it to her.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I'll pull up a picture when we're on break, but yeah, she's like in tears over it.
Oh, I bet.
She's a huge nerd.
Because I saw Kevin Smith at the Improv. He did a Q&A there at the Improv. I went with an ex-girlfriend of mine, and it was magical. Absolutely magical.
I can imagine. I'm jealous of that.
It was like $42 per person. That wasn't worth it, though, but he's telling
Mick
stories.
Mick Foley was like 60.
Oh, yeah. Because, well, think about it. It's Mick Foley.
It's Mick Foley.
But like, he was telling stories about how he went on the Star Wars movie set and like went up in the Millennium Falcon and all sorts of crap. And I'm
he
like,
said it was so beautiful, he cried.
Yeah, he's like, I'm in tears, like crying, hanging over. So anyway, like I said, that was just a quick story. It's about setting goals. Like,
yeah.
He was small goals, you know, do anything, chase every silly dream that you have.
That was a really good story.
It's really like, you can see there's a Joe Rogan like inspirational thing that if you type it up on YouTube, like Joe Rogan inspiration, you know, watch this every morning. Like, it's in the middle of that. And it's there. I'm not as very good at telling the story as he is, obviously, but,
of course.
But it's in there. If you looked it up, go to Joe Rogan inspiration and there should be like a bunch of, Joe Rogan's been very instrumental in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like, watch this every morning, I think is the title of the thing. It's like 20 minutes long. I think the Kevin Smith story is about halfway through it, about 8-9 minutes in or so. But it's definitely, you know, set small goals, accomplish those goals, and then make those into bigger goals. This is something the next one is something I think Dan and I are, we do regularly. Like, I don't want to say, like, we do it all the time. Like, is learn a new skill.
Yeah.
And, whether it's, how do I say it? Whether it's, if you want to go into martial arts, go to a dojo, sign up for a class, go. Okay. Mm-hmm. You want to learn how to do woodworking, watch some YouTube videos, buy a book, go to the library, figure it out.
Buy some tools.
Go to Home Depot, even if you just
Harbor
want
Freight.
Harbor Freight, just to start off with. I don't know if you have Harbor Freight where you guys are. But
Harbor Freight's around and they have really, they're budget tools. I have quite a bit of Harbor Freight stuff.
I use them at work.
Just because they're awesome. So much more expensive. Affordable.
Exactly.
Like my miter saw that I got from there is a 12-inch sliding miter saw. It was $130.
That's not bad.
Whereas even the Ryobi version, which is very budget, is $250.
And most of those, going to dog them, but like most of the Harbor Freight stuff is all have lifetime warranty, just like any Craftsman tool would. Like I bought some stuff there, like hey, if it breaks, you bring it back, we'll give you another one.
Mm-hmm.
And if it breaks again, you bring it back, we'll give you another one.
Mm-hmm.
And like certain brands in there have them. I mean, it's
they run their company really well too.
I think so
it's
too.
It's one of those good holistic value companies that
doesn't try to
exploit
screw you
its workers.
Yeah, and the people that work for Harbor Freight actually make a halfway decent living wage. And we got run right down the street from our, you know, where we live. So it's actually kind of cool to go in there. I go in there just to look around sometimes, you know. Yeah, especially if you got a little extra cash.
Especially if you got like a wood shop in your backyard.
Yeah. But not like when he said, not only learn a skill, but find a way to make it work for you. Like, and also try a way to make for other people to see it. Because I think if you have a skill and it's something that you think could go into good use, let other people see it. And I think once the people say, like, oh my God, I didn't know that you could do that. Like your woodworking stuff. Mm-hmm. That's a perfect example. Like, I didn't know that you could. Like, I didn't know you could, like, you built that cutting board thing. I never knew you knew how to do that. I'm like, holy shit, man.
Oh, have I told you what my next project's going to be?
But you show the pictures of the stuff that you do for the sets. I'm like, holy shit. Like, I've known you for, what, almost 3 years now?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know you could do that. Like, and we talked about some of the stuff that I'm working on, and you look at me like I'm crazy. But like, oh my God, I can't believe you went that far in depth. Because you know me, like once I get on something, I get on something. Like we are BFing. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, I don't want to say that in case I try to keep it clean
as
much as possible.
One thing I'm trying to find, and it's a perfect representation of it. I think this is it, actually. Hold on. Ah, yeah. It's a Japanese philosophy, and it's done with a Venn diagram, and it's got four circles to it. I'm probably going to post this online because it's kind of tricky to describe, but what it is it's Ikigai, I think it's pronounced. It's
like Mr. Miyagi?
I-K-I-G-A-I.
Ikigai. Yeah, it sounds good.
And it, like I said, it's a Venn diagram with four circles. The top one is what you love. And next to that on the right is what the world needs. And where those two overlap is a mission. Then the circle on the bottom is what you can be paid for.
Okay.
And where that overlaps with what the world needs is a vocation. So then what you can get paid for and what you are good at is a profession. And what you are good at and what you love is a passion.
Oh, yeah.
When all
I agree with
four
that
of those meet is this philosophical ikigai. I'm probably butchering that.
It doesn't matter, but so I think we get the point of it.
It's what you love, what the world needs, what you can be paid for, and what you are good at.
You define all of those in a four thing, like that's going to be something nuts. Mm-hmm. I think I'm really like one of these. I've had a lot of crazy ideas, as you know. Okay. And no, most of them have not worked out, but I don't think of it as being a failure though. I think I learned something. Like each time
Thomas
I did something.
Edison.
Exactly. Each time, like you said, the light bulb quote that we talked about before. I think each one of, like, I did paracord bracelets for a while. You know, I did, you know, other podcasts, a few other things, and I'm working on two other things right now. Well, one more than the other, but, like, I got one thing coming out in a few months that I think it's really going to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't Knock on wood.
Yeah, exactly. hopefully it'll work out cool. I'm going to announce it here. Once I get it all tested and all ready to rock, I'm going to announce it here on the show and tell everybody where to find it and blah, blah, blah. But, I used to think like, oh man, like everybody used to, like, especially like my family, my mom, my dad, my brother, like I would tell them like, hey, I'm working on something. They're like, oh great. What is it now? And you're like, what are you going to fail at next?
See, you tell me. So I've got an idea for something. I'm like, ooh, what is it?
And you look at me like, I just got like you're unwrapping
like
a new toy.
Candy store.
Exactly. Like you're unwrapping a new toy. Like I was showing you what we were talking about before and you're like, so when are we getting started? You know? And like I was telling you about the, you know, I'm not going to mention it right now, but you know what I'm talking about. And you're like, when, we're, really? Like,
yeah.
Like we could probably make a good chunk of change.
I feel that kind of relates back to, the toxic people episode.
Being around the why nots instead of the people ask you why.
Yeah.
That's another thing Kevin Smith says too. Like in that whole thing, that story I told you about, he's like, I just surround myself with people who say, why not? Like when you say, when I tell them I'm going to do it, like, all right, well, why not? Like instead of people like, oh, why are you doing that? Like, My dad was really great at that. My brother is the king of doing that. My mom, okay. She'll support me until she watches me fall. Like I told you. exactly. Be around people who say, well, why not? And if you've got friends of yours who are always dogging you, like, oh, another stupid idea of yours, or don't support your dreams, whatever, how many that you have, get rid of those people. Get them out of your damn life. I've lost friends because I wanted to change who I was. I didn't like myself 2 years ago. And I still don't like all of what I do now. Like
cutting those toxic people out can really help boost your self-confidence.
Exactly.
Too.
Once you start getting rid of all those naysayers
in
your life.
We're tying back to episodes, what was that, 6 and 7 or 4 and 5?
4 and 5, I think.
4 and 5. Our two-part
expose. Trying to be all fancy and shit.
For those keeping score at home.
But like I said, getting rid of all those people that are always asking, well, what are you doing that for? I mean, that's really detrimental to your, if you're excited about an idea and you're like, you have the confidence enough to go show that idea to somebody else. They're like, well, what are you doing that for? And that all condescending and crap. That's a figurative kick of the nuts. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. I mean, tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean,
you're right, you're right.
So like, removing those kind of people away from me is a big self-confidence booster. I know I've been talking this whole time, Danny, and I feel bad.
Oh, no, it's fine. Like I said, your list was far better than mine.
What was something on your list that I didn't have?
One thing that always helped me kind of rebuild or build self-esteem is just like positive affirmation. And like the cliche of it is like standing in front of a mirror and just saying, you look good.
There's nothing wrong with giving yourself a pep talk, you know?
Exactly. And just doing something like that on a regular basis can do worlds for your self-confidence. I mean, that's what really helped me get self-confidence, period.
So talking to yourself in the mirror?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also, too, you've been the lead singer of a band. I mean, that's got to be...
Well, no, I'm talking about before this.
Oh, okay, before.
I'm talking like high school era.
Oh, okay, I got you. I thought you were talking about like, you know, when you were in the band and all that stuff. Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Like, I've never, it's always been a dream of mine to like, I don't necessarily want to play, but like, I want to go up there and pretend that I am. Like, just like, oh, hey, we got a special guest bass player. And I go up there and just tear it down. But like, there's some guy in the background, like at an Alkaline Trio show where they got, you know, Alkaline Trio is, right? Well, yeah, I have a fourth guitar player in the back that nobody sees. I want to be like that, where like I'm just going there and just getting after it, and there's some guy playing really bass in the back. So that way I can live out my dream of just being that rock star for that minute. For that 3 or 4 minutes of that song, I will have my dream accomplished. I'm waiting for a band to let me do that. I probably, it's not going to happen, but it'd be nice. You know, like everybody's just like, oh my God, I didn't know you to play. You knew how to play. Like, I don't. I was just going there screwing around. It was like basically like they had that live band karaoke sort of thing. So, but no, what I want to ask you was like, like, getting up on stage, I mean, that's got to be kind of freaky, right? I mean, that's got to freak you out a little bit. Like, did you ever have any problems with that?
Never.
Not once.
Even from when I was in elementary school. I've always just been that.
I mean, you play huge shows and festivals and stuff, man. That's got to be just balls of the wall nuts.
Even before then, though, like, I was in music programs in middle and high school.
Yeah.
So I've always been on stage. I think the first time I ever did anything in front of a crowd that I can remember officially in front of a crowd was, I believe, in fourth grade. We had a recorder.
Like a recital sort of thing?
Recital.
Yeah.
And I was one of the MCs for it.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I never did anything like that. I was always afraid.
Even before that, before I was in even an elementary school, I would take my Uncle Al's cane and click it down because it was an adjustable height one. And I'd pretend to, because obviously I didn't know how to, but dance the soft shoe in front of the family, and everyone would laugh. I've just always been a natural entertainer.
See, I like
some people, the thought of getting on stage paralyzes them with fear.
Here's what happens with me. Okay. And this, I do, and I find myself doing this with groups of people. Okay. Like, even like, I am nervous as all hell going up in front of a group of people I don't know. Okay. But I don't know what the hell happens, but as soon as I get to that group, something kind of just turns on, and then I kill it. Like, I can make that entire group laugh with me, and telling jokes, pointing at things out, and I can make everybody feel awesome and everybody laughing all at the same time. And I've done it multiple times, like at bars or at, at social functions. And I think the only time, I mean, me personally, the only time I actually been up on stage, and this is going to sound so horrible, and I can't believe I'm going to say it out loud. When I was in sixth grade, I used to volunteer at a nursing home. Okay. And the activities director at this nursing home, I went to middle school. I don't know what it was, but she thought I had like the greatest voice on the planet. Like I was like the Wayne Newton or whatever of like, you know, monotone voices. So she made me call the bingo numbers out. That was my first time ever being on a microphone. I was calling out bingo numbers at a nursing home. And this lady would sit in the back, right? I was just, and she was like in her 50s, man. And like here I'm like 13, maybe 12, 13. And she's sitting in the back. And she's like, I would say like N21 or whatever. I don't know what the hell number was. She'd be like, oh my God, listen to that voice. Like, and I could hear her say that.
That's kind of creepy.
It was like, eventually I got to like, look, I even said to her, like I did it for another year, like just because I wanted to volunteer, you know, I was always big into volunteering. And, I find something, this is getting a little bit too much. Like, I didn't say this, but I think you're kind of, you know, getting moist over there. Like, and she just like, what? I'm like, yeah, you heard me the first time. And I was like, I'm not going to do this anymore. I think I'm going to volunteer somewhere else.
I can think of another time you were kind of on stage.
Oh man.
There was one time.
Please, are we going to talk about this?
We're going to talk about this.
All right, who took the video, Jessica or Courtney?
Courtney.
Does she still have it?
No. There was one time, Chris and I, it was after.
Thank you, Courtney. Thank
you, Courtney. It was after.
We were both.
I'm going to tell the whole story.
Oh, all right. I just have to sit back and relax, don't I?
And brace yourself. We were, it was after our previous situation, and we went down to the bar I used to work at afterwards to get some food. and we wound up staying because Chris and the bartender were really hitting it off.
Was that that same night?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
We showed up there, what, about noon, probably?
What happens is we were doing TMO in those days, mm-hmm. and then you said to me, even on the podcast, you said to me, hey, I work at this bar. Like, we knew what bar you worked mm-hmm. at. There's a girl down there I think that you might get along uh-huh. with. And I'm like, oh, yeah, bullshit, you know, whatever. You know, I've heard that line before. And then you're like, no, I'm really serious. I think I showed her your picture and whatnot, and she would like to meet you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, Danny, whatever. And I at this point, I've only known you for like 3 or 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. So like,
and I'm already playing matchmaker.
And he's like, no, we need to go down to the bar. So we recorded TMO that morning. It was like 9 o'clock. We were all here. And we did, you know, 2 hour show.
I think we wrapped up probably about noon or 1.
And we got down there probably about 1:30, 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I wanted to change. If I was going to meet somebody, I wanted to change clothes. I know exactly what I was wearing that day too. I was wearing jeans. I had black Vans on. I had my plaid Scally cap on and a blue like work shirt, mm-hmm. like a Dickies work shirt that I bought at a flea market for $1.
Yeah.
And a white undershirt. I'll never forget it either. And then we go there and they're like, dude, let's just get drinks and water food. This is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Next thing we know, it's like 9, 10 o'clock at night. And we are toasted and they are hosting karaoke.
Oh man, that was just...
And we had been joking, making Top Gun allusions. And then I get the genius idea to sign us up for karaoke.
And you didn't tell me about it either, you asshole. Until all of a sudden, Dan and Chris singing, you lost that loving feeling. And then all of a sudden, I look at Jessica, and she's just like, oh, really? And then Courtney's on just there laughing hysterically, just ready with her phone, like getting ready to – like I am drunk beyond my all imagining at this point. It took me – 2 hours of sober up after that. We got sober up at IHOP later. But, oh my! And then, so go ahead. No, go ahead and continue, Dan.
No, that's the extent.
Yeah,
of
we sang "You Lost That Love and Feeling" together.
You lost that love.
Oh, that was so bad. That was the worst karaoke and the worst in the history of karaoke.
I've seen.
Well,
worse.
Yeah, probably working there, but like
that I've ever been a part of it.
Yeah,
the worst,
part of.
I only know the chorus.
Good thing we had the words there. And then that night meeting her, and then she still wanted to hang out with me. Like, it's like, what? Like, I even told her, like, if you don't want to hang out with me anymore, thanks to that. Like, I understand. I get it. You know, just like, no, it's okay. what a crazy night that was. But there you go. Confidence comes in all shapes and forms. And sometimes you need a little liquid courage to make you go up and do weird shit.
Yeah.
It just kind of happens. Like, I never would have sang, you lost that love. So we were talking about Top Gun most of the night. We were going to be Maverick and Goose. And you're
Goose!
Like,
Goose!
We were screaming that across the bar. Oh, my God.
I think I was in a kilt that day, too.
You were. We sang, you lost that love. Well, you were wearing a kilt. Both of us in Scally caps with beards. What a
with
night.
Me with hair halfway down my back,
oh
too.
Oh, my God. What a night that was. Yeah, so what a hell of a night that was. But we've been rambling on this whole time. So I think we got where to get going for this week's episode. So, guys, like I said, we gave you a bunch of tips on how to install more confidence in yourself, whether it's big goals, small goals, dressing better, all that kind of stuff. It's real basic stuff, but it's really something you really need to make it through your life, because you spend your whole life just – feeling sorry for yourself. I mean, that's what you're going to be, and nobody's going to want to be around mm-hmm. you. And you know, nobody likes a negative. I want to say negative Nancy. Negative Nancy, or woe is me
Debbie
sort of
Downer.
Guy. Debbie Downer. That woe is me sort of guy. We've been that guy. I know plenty of guys who are like that now, and I try to help them out as much as I can. But you can only help, obviously, like we talked about before. You can only help somebody who wants to help themselves. So, and that's a big reason why we're doing this, is to help people out and teach you some of the things that maybe that like I said, we didn't really have a really strong father figures in our lives. So some of the things that maybe our dad should have told us, that was my kind of goal when we started this.
Yeah.
Like things that my dad should have taught me, that book, things you should have learned in history class. But these are things that we hope that we can help you guys with. Our big thing is really helping men become men again, and confidence. Men become gentlemen. That's a good one. Sorry. But confidence is a huge, huge point. I think it's actually not, I wouldn't say the biggest point, but it's a huge hitching pin when it comes to becoming a gentleman. Because
confidence is key.
Because when you see a gentleman out, like a full body in a suit, dressed nice, out at a good, a good place, what's the first thing you notice about him? Like he has, his stature, his posture is just sweats confidence.
He owns a room when he owns walks a room. Into it.
Like James Bond says, you know, be polite, be kind, and have a plan for killing everybody in the room.
You know one thing that I actually found out about James Bond recently?
What's that?
I was listening to the Nerdist podcast they had Daniel Craig on it.
What a great, I mean, if you have, like, I know we sing the praises of other podcasts, mm-hmm. but if you haven't checked out the Nerdist yet, get your ass over there. Seriously.
The person who plays Bond has an input on the wardrobe.
Really?
Yeah, like one of the jackets that he wears in Spectre
uh-huh.
is actually his jacket. Was like his wardrobe before Spectre.
So that was his real jacket, like he probably keeps at his house.
Yeah.
Holy shit, man.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew that.
They have an insane amount of input on this. On the
See, I think that's cool, costuming. Though. I think that's badass.
It helps them own the character, I really feel.
I think so, too, because, like, if you're using a jacket that you're going out and, like, you and your wife, or whatever, mm-hmm. I don't know Daniel Craig personally, mm-hmm. obviously, but, like, if he's going out with his wife to, like, a dinner wearing that jacket, and that's James fucking Bond, man. Like,
band comes out of nowhere in the background, starts doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah, exactly. Like, real quick before we go, because we're running a little high on time here, who's your favorite Bond?
Is that an honest question?
I'm just asking. Some people have their favorite.
Chicken, Sean. Not stirred.
This is why we're best friends, by the way.
Daniel Craig is great.
I think Daniel Craig. I wasn't a big fan of Pierce Brosnan. I think he did great.
I wasn't a fan of Pierce Brosnan.
Okay, he did a great job. I like Daniel Craig more than I like Pierce Brosnan, yeah. obviously. But
number one is.
But I mean, Sean Connery.
Bond.
I mean,
James Bond.
Like nobody pulled that off like him. Nobody's going.
You know, he actually has like severe Alzheimer's now.
Sean Connery does?
It's one of the most well-guarded secrets in Hollywood. That's why they didn't do League of Extraordinary Gentlemen Part 2.
Oh.
During the filming of the first one, it started getting him, and he started forgetting his lines. And ever since he hasn't done anything in years.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything since that movie.
He's a living caretaker. He doesn't do anything because he's like severe Alzheimer's.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for
someone who's lived as prolific of a life as he has.
Oh, my God. Like, he was like the Tom Cruise of, like, the 60s, mm-hmm. man. I mean, he did everything and knew everybody. Mm-hmm. It sucks.
Yeah.
Ugh. God. Anyway, not to end on a poor note, but so make sure you guys come back in next week. We got a really cool episode. It's not, I want to say it's part one of a two-parter, but it's kind of...
They're two episodes in the same vein.
In the same, yeah, same genre, I guess. Maybe. We're going to be talking about Gentlemen Rules at the Bar. Now, everybody goes to a bar. I've been to a bar. We talked about being at a bar.
I used to work in a bar.
So have I, more or less, an adult entertainment establishment. I don't want to, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So, gentlemen rules for going to a bar, or either just proper etiquette for going to a bar. You don't have to dress in a top hat and a suit, but just. It doesn't hurt, though. But
peacocking.
but just basic rules to make sure that you're following proper bar etiquette. Things that we both learned from working in bars. So make sure you tune in for that episode. And one more thing, we want a quick shout out to our sponsors. That's Armstrong's All Natural.
That incredible boot care.
Dan's got a video coming out next week about that. Also, Beastly Beard Care out of Woodstock, Illinois. Great. I use their beard products now. That's my official
that
beard.
Good?
Dude.
Nice.
You're gonna try some before
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, I'm going to try some.
And then Royal Blood Designs, Jackson Bickle, who took care of all of our mm-hmm. logos. Make sure you check them out on Facebook. I'm not going to say all that Facebook.com mm-hmm. crap. Go find them on Facebook. Armstrong is All Natural, Beastly Beard Care, and Royal Blood Designs. They're all on Instagram as well. So go do that. And make sure, like I said, you tune in next mm-hmm. week's show. Danny, before we go, you got anything?
Yeah, I got the quote to wrap up the episode.
Did you get the one I sent you today?
I did get the one, but I found a different one.
Okay.
That's one that I've liked. Unfortunately, I couldn't find where it's credited to. So it's going to be
one
of those.
Well, as long as you say that ahead of time, I think you'd be okay.
Unknown quotes.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
But I feel it completely embodies what confidence should be to a gentleman.
Okay.
Confidence isn't walking into a room with your nose in the air thinking you're better than everyone else in the room. It's walking into a room and not having to compare yourself to anyone in the first place.
Ooh, mm-hmm. I like that. The soothing sounds of Daniel Mahogany, ladies and gentlemen.
Daniel Mahogany.
Daniel Mahogany.
Shaken. Notch dad.
We gotta come out with a
my dear Mish Money Penny.
We're gonna lose listeners, even the ones that we do have. We had over 100 downloads this week.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
I gotta give you the link so you can check that out. You got enough.
I'm so technologically inept, I wouldn't know what to do anyway.
It's actually not that hard to do. I can give you, like, you can keep it posted on your phone. Anyway.
Thanks to everybody for listening in. We've started getting some feedback on the Facebook. We got some messages.
We did get some messages this week.
We appreciate it. Any more, we always appreciate the input. We will read it. And if you have any questions, too.
Dan and I are both connected on our pages manager for Facebook, so we will see your message within minutes. I know I'm unfortunately attached to my phone more often than not, so we'll see your message right away. We'll get back to you right away. Don't be afraid to post any comments on any of the pictures we post. We feel like your commentary is important to us. We want to acknowledge that as well. Just don't be a damn troll. if you want to be an ass, that's fine. Do it on your own time. Like I posted something about, I took it off as I just didn't feel like dealing with it. But I posted how to wear your hat properly, and some kid was just like, "Why can't I wear the hat the way I want?" Like, well, because you look like a douchebag. That's what I wanted to say, but I didn't.
Well, you're wearing your affliction tee.
Yeah. Well, it was like, I don't know. You probably didn't see it, but it was like how to wear your hat not straight, take the damn sticker off, and wear it curved like a normal man does. You know, people got all bent out of shape, like whatever. But anyway, so that's it for us for this week. Make sure you tune in next week, like I said, for episode 10. It's Gentleman Rules for Being at the Bar. All right, guys, we'll talk to you later.